Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today we got Stephen Polk back again. Me and Stephen have done a lot of different podcasts, even webinars, because Stephen's been in the industry for a while and so have I, and we went to college together, so we have a good relationship, but he does a lot of good deals. I do a lot of good deals, so it just makes sense to bring him on from time to time because he's always coming up with different strategies that I think will help you guys out, and he has a lot of insight, and I think from his point of view, today we're going to talk about the landlord-tenant relationship at this point in time during Corona. A lot of people have been saying, oh, we shouldn't have to pay rent for the months of Corona. And then you got landlords out here being like, well, nah, because I got to pay my rent. You know what I mean? So someone has to pay this rent. So I feel like there's a disconnect and I don't see tenants being on the understanding side of this. And I think landlords, we kind of been forced into it because of, you know, governments, mayors, and you know, people trying to be like, hey, guys, don't make people pay the rent and evict them later or work it out to where they can pay it up at some point in time. However you got to work it out is what we've been advised to do as landlords and property owners. But tenants are giving pushback in a lot of markets, especially like L.A., man. I see people all the time saying, why do we got to pay rent? Why do we got to pay the rent? Why can't these people just eat the cost of our rent for these past 2 or 3 months? But I don't think the tenants are understanding, like, how do you eat the cost of a multifamily that's 16 or 17 or 450 units? That's a lot of money that people got to spend. And so the government is trying to pump money into the markets to pay that, but that loan still has to be paid back. You know what I mean? So I don't think people are understanding, yeah, the government's pumping stimulus into the market and these people that own real estate like us can go out there and try to get approved for these loans, but everybody's not necessarily getting approved. So today I want to talk to Stephen because he has situations where he's in a situation where he might have to evict someone. And earlier today I was like, bro, why are you going to evict him? So I'm going to get his feedback in on why he has to evict him. And I understand. So I just feel like that's something that we need to discuss so everybody understands the tenant and landlord or property owner relationship, because it's going to be tough for the next couple months. Is unemployment's at 30 million right now. I think it's going to reach 40 to 50 million by July, just because of the way that it's going. And the stimulus is going to be enough, but if the government keeps pumping money into the market, then we're going to have hyperinflation. And that's a whole nother situation. So yep. I think we're going to break down today what the situation is and why people got to understand we need your money just as much as we need the government's money. You know what I mean? So what's up, Stephen? How you doing, man?
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's hop
you
into
like that?
It, man.
Hold on, before we said, did you like that? I just wanted to like give like a pre-intro, like with the yeah. I just felt like I needed to say that.
You took it back, man. Who did the yeah?
That was your boy Cube.
I knew somebody just do it. Yay, yay. Investing Uncensored based out of LA, so we gotta represent every now and then.
you know. No, man, this is serious, man. Like I'm in a situation right now. So I will say I have most of my properties are in undervalued or low income areas, and I do buy distressed, so I am able to get them at a pretty decent price. So even though I have tenants that are not paying, and I do have some mortgages on some of my properties, because I was able to buy them so cheap, most of my other rent still cover the mortgages. However, those are, if you're in a Class A or Class B neighborhood and your tenants are not paying rent and you don't have additional income coming in from other businesses or your job, it is going to get real, real ugly real soon. So, you know, I've had a couple of tenants not pay, and you asked me, was I doing some evictions? Yeah. So I've been speaking with my attorney ever since. I'm working with people. I'm not a villain. I'm not a, you know, I'm working with people as best as I can. Hey, what's your situation? Let me know what's going on. Can we work out a payment arrangement? Can you at least do half? Can you do something? I think the issue that we're seeing now is people are getting stimulus checks or they're getting unemployment and they're still feeling like they don't have to pay the rent. I don't know if they know what the repercussions are, but you know, you may get away with not paying rent right now, but that's still going to go on your record. So when you try to go and get another property, you're not going to be able to, especially if the landlords know you had the money from the stimulus check and you did not pay your rent. So that's the situation that's going on right now. Now,
so let me hop in here. So what you said is valid, right? You know that they got a stimulus check. The stimulus is only $1,200, right? So yes. Hypothetically, they get $1,200. I don't know what their, you know, this dude's living situation. So let's just use your guy, for example. He gets $1,200. How much is his rent?
For one of the properties, the guy's rent is $525.
So then you cut that $525 from his $1,200. So he still got to eat, right? And he still got other bills. So how do you factor in, like, man, I know you got $1,200. What if he got to help somebody else out? You just like, I don't care. Like, I want your money. What's your take on that? Because he only got $1,200, and he only got $1,200 once. So what if he can't pay it? What if he pays it now, and then next month comes up? I mean, the whole $1,200 can't go to a rent.
Absolutely, absolutely. But that's why there's special unemployment right now. Like the government said, even if you did not get fired, but you felt like your job was putting you in a position to catch COVID-19, that you could actually quit and still receive unemployment without actually being fired or laid off right now. So there's no excuse. And that's why they added an additional $600 on to the unemployment. So for investors, if you had an FHA-backed loan, usually you use that for your personal residence. But if you did use that for investment property, then that particular bank would freeze your mortgage. But anybody knows that if you take out an investor loan, and I have one because I'm speaking from experience. I'm in the middle of a flip, and I asked, not that I needed it, but I just wanted to prepare. I asked them what were they doing for COVID-19. They said they wanted their money, or else they would take the property back. So investor loans are not government backed. And if you pay cash for a property, you still got repairs, you still got insurance, and you still got taxes. Well, I think they pushed taxes back a little bit, but that stuff is still accumulating. So if I still have to pay expenses to take care of that property, to have you in a good living space, then you are obligated to work out a payment plan or a compensation plan where you can make your rent payment.
So now we're going to piggyback off of the unemployment. So for instance, again, I'm in LA. Unemployment is out of control here. And I think one of my friends tried to apply for unemployment and he's so far behind on being able to get it because there's so many people filing. So yeah, I hear you with the $600, but what if that person can't get it? So you got the $1,200 for the stimulus, take away the $525, but leave him with $675. He still got to, you know, buy food and eat groceries. What about the next month that come up? You know what I mean? His $675 is now maybe $325 because he had to feed his family. So now what? And he couldn't get the $600 for the unemployment.
You're going to have to put yourself in a position where you can derive some income until you're able to get back to working, or who knows if that job is going to last or not, doing, you know, like the whole, we still don't know if there's going to be a second wave, but there's other ways to make income. You know, I mean, you can Grubhub, you know, I'm just saying Uber Eats, like, nobody's putting you out, but I wouldn't chance especially if I had a family, I wouldn't chance myself on what ifs or luck. I would do what I had to do to find something that's still, you know, ployable to where I can save myself when the when everything opens back up. Because best believe, landlords are still going to eviction courts. So that brings me to my other topic. I have a friend, matter of fact, she lives where you are in California. She was telling us she has a house. She's not really a real estate investor like that. She just had a property that was left to her, and she just ended up renting the property out. And then she moved to Los Angeles. I think she's getting like $750 a month, something like that. And she's got a mortgage on it. So the guy is going through not obviously not his fault, but he's going through, he got laid off. Mm-hmm. She can't pay her mortgage. So, and I don't know if hers was an FHA loan or I don't really know the details, but she already told us she's letting it go back to the bank because she says she that's just something that she was kind of doing. She's not, again, she's not an investor. So she's not, I'm looking for it. She don't know. She just, she had it rented.
So, not to cut you off, but that's a good point. Now we're going to flip it on the side. I was playing devil's advocate. So now you pointed out the fact that it was an investor loan. I use investor loan, which is hard money, right? So hard money don't care. They don't care.
They don't.
I mean, they give you a forbearance. They're just tacking it on to the other end of your, say you got a 12-month loan.
They won't even do that.
Depends on your hard money lender, correct?
Okay.
So now people are like, well, this girl about to go into foreclosure. She going to have this foreclosure on her record now because this dude couldn't pay the rent. I mean, that's not right. That's not. So if she was to evict this person, people going to be looking at her like, oh, that's messed up. You evicted this guy during COVID. But it's like, I had to evict him and put somebody else in there that can pay, because if not, I'm going to have a foreclosure on my record. And then,
exactly.
You know what I mean? So I get what you're saying.
And there's still jobs out there that's hiring. I mean, you're hearing it all the time. Amazon. Like Amazon. I live in Memphis, for instance. That's the distribution warehouse. DHL, Amazon, UPS. I mean, if it's not something that you want to do, you know, would you put back something that you don't want to do to have a roof over your head? Like you got to make that decision, you know? And I still got to pay, I still got to pay my mortgage. I still got to pay my rents. So
what did your attorney say when you went in there and you was like, I need to go ahead and do this? So what was that like?
So I didn't even meet up with him. He actually, we can't talk. He's not even going to the office. He told me you had better get all of your evictions in, because when June 1st comes, of course, it's going to be so backed up with people. It's going to be ridiculous.
Dang.
Yep.
So then obviously he knows, because that's what he does. So he probably got a desk full of stuff. And so he's trying to be like, look, get it in now, because that's, I don't know, man. It's messed up, because, I mean, it happens to everybody, right? Not everybody, but a lot of people that happen to, and they can't pay, like you're saying, the dude can't pay. But on the flip side, it's like, who should be the person that's responsible for this? Who's at fault?
But I'm saying, like, if you got the $1,200, that's probably gone. But if you're getting, his rent is $750, if he's getting $400 a month plus an extra $600, like, I mean, okay, we can't go out anyway. I was gonna say you may have to skip a few dinners or so, but we can't eat anyway. Yeah, so you have to prioritize. Like, 2 weeks of unemployment can cover his rent, and you just got a budget. And I mean, I think you should look for other opportunities to make income. Again, there's people still working. There's jobs still hiring. Your new job is to find a new job.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've done it, man. I've hit hard times where I'm like, let me hop out here and just drive around real quick. I mean, everybody goes through it, and like, it's so crazy, because like, I was fighting on doing it. I was like, man, I'm not doing this. It's just a blow to my ego. I mean, I've made a shit ton of money in my life, right? So to have to be like, man, I got to go out here and drive Uber or Postmates or whatever the case is. It's so crazy, because the day I did it, the next day I had a breakthrough with, money coming in, and it just hit my bank. Like, I just think the universe works like that. It's like a it's like a test. It's like, how willing are you to humble yourself to go out here and do something to make your situation better on the other side? And so, again, as soon as I did it, boom, I got flooded with money from nowhere for whatever the reason is. And then I just kept doing it.
When I first started, dude, I Ubered, man. I Ubered, you know, I saved. And there was times where I thought that I was like, man, should I, you know what I'm saying? I kept the app. I was like, am I going to have to Uber this week? Unfortunately, I never had to, but I always was like, when I was waiting on that deal to close, saying? You got 40, 50,000 coming in three weeks, you need some food, you need some money. I'm like, man, I may have to Uber. But like you said, the universe always bring you something to where it was always something, whether it was, I got a construction company too. So I would guess, hey, I need this fixed. So it always happened that way.
I don't think people realize that. Like you said, it's like, if you putting out negative energy, like I need money, I need money, I need money, I need money, you're going to always need money, because that's just like the laws of attraction. That's like your energy is going toward that. So that's going to be your need. But as soon as you were like, you know what, F it, I'm going to just go ahead and drive and get some money, you want to focus on that no more, and then money just came in. I think that's kind of just how it works. You know what I mean? But back to what we were saying.
Let me piggyback off that too. Remember, because earlier we talked about, and another thing, if you so focus on money, 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 first of all, money's not real anyway. Remember when we talked about, we first started our business, and you're not going to have no money in the beginning. So you have to go after those intangibles, like a good product, a good service, good strategy. You know what I'm saying? So if you focus on money, 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 that's the wrong thing to focus on. Focus on your strategy. Focus on, you know, giving value. And then
building a system.
Yeah, that consciousness energy will bring a form of energy to you in the form of money.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So,
you know what, man? I think, you know, back to what we were saying, you know, somebody, I don't want to put him on blast. I could. But he was like, oh, yeah, man. The governor said we don't got to pay rent or light bill for the next 3 months. And I'm like, no. If you can pay it, pay it. I said, but it's people like you that are going to go out here and not pay their rent because they feeling like they can take advantage of the situation. And so I think that's probably what's going on. And so they might get evicted. Like, they might have missed it and they didn't. And it was funny because I don't even know if people know you had to notify your landlord or your property owner about your situation. And if you didn't do that, then you screwed, right? I mean, they can come back and be like, well, I didn't know I had to let you know. No, it's like, it's going out there. Like, there are certain guidelines in order for you to miss paying your rent that you should have followed, not thinking like, I don't have to pay it based on the governor saying something. So I'm just giving examples on why I think some people might get evicted. Because they probably had the cash and they took advantage of the situation, not knowing that this person was going to come in here and be like, yo, you got evicted because you didn't pay your month. But I didn't think I had to. But you can email me, let me know that you couldn't pay your rent. You know what I mean? So you have to have documentation showing why you couldn't pay your rent in the first place. So like this dude that told me this, I'm like, nah, bro, that ain't the case. Like, you need to pay. So
yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think people are going to get smacked with that. They would get hit over the head, even though there was a memorandum saying that. You know what I mean?
This is what's going to cause the next real estate depression, man. These tenants not paying their rent, and unfortunately, them not paying the rent, the owners not being able to pay the mortgage. That correct. You are looking at the next real estate depression right there. You know,
it's so funny because like in December, I don't know if I was talking to you, but I did a podcast, a webinar, whatever I did on the next recession, and I said it won't be a real estate collapse, because it shouldn't have been a real estate collapse, because there was regulation put in place to prevent this from happening. But because of coronavirus, it would have just been an economic, you know what I mean, a recession just with like stocks and businesses going out, something like that. But now it's it's going to be a complete collapse because of what you just said. So now, I mean, the difference is there'll be a collapse in the real estate industry, but it's not going to be values that are pushing it. It's going to be people defaulting and foreclosures, not because there's adjustable rate mortgages, predatory lending. It's just like people can't pay their rent. Or exactly. You got people out here just being like, oh, well, there's a memorandum saying I don't got to pay my rent. So now I'm not paying it, but now you're getting evicted. So I think what you're saying is going to be the case. It's going to be the next real estate recession.
Yeah. And just to piggyback off of you saying about giving notice, yeah, we had all of our tenants. I required a business letterhead from your employee state and with a contact number stating that, you know, what happened. And the reason I did that is because some people take advantage. Like, it's just, yeah, it is what it is. So, you know, but for the most part, I think most of my tenants, they did do it. But again, you got to know how to navigate. Just like any circumstance in life, man. You got to know how to navigate and put yourself in a position to triumph. You do.
So with this person who is, are you going to evict him? Are you like, what can he do to not be evicted?
I will put him on a payment plan. Like, I mean, you'd have to come up with something, and then I'd have to charge you for like, you know, half of, you know, maybe half of the month you miss on one month and then half on another month or some. I'm willing to work with people, but just not paying, period, that's not going to fly.
So what was that conversation like? And again, like in LA, I know that Garcetti, which is the mayor, passed it. So like, you can't get evicted. They're not kicking you out. So, but you got to go on a payment plan, like you just said, an arrangement. So I think it's like, if your rent is, I think they use an example of like $1,300 a month, it would take $260 from you in addition to your regular rent for the next 12 months until you pay it off. So, but you had to let your landlord know, like, hey, I can't pay my rent this month. What communication have you had with this person who was just like, you might have to evict?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I let them know, like, hey, you don't have to pay rent for this month, but I made it clear as day, you do owe for that month. And I told them, when you get your stimulus check, you may want to go back and pay that back, pay rent. I had a young lady in another one of the properties that I managed. I had the exact same conversation with her. She gave me the letter. She works in the restaurant industry. As we know, the restaurant industry was hit extremely hard. Okay. I heard from her like that week. About 2 weeks later, I get a text from her. I received my stimulus check. I'm sending you the rent. She sent me the rent the next day. Mm-hmm. So what was the difference between her and the other gentleman?
Mm-hmm. Communication.
You know, I'm sure she wanted to keep a lot of that money and do what she, you know, but
she did.
You know, so it was more important to her to have a roof over her head for her kids.
So this particular loan, I think you said it was from a hard money lender, or do you own this house? What is it? A fourplex? Duplex? What is it?
That's a duplex. I got a mortgage on there, but it's not much. But still, I don't want to pay that out of my pocket. That's not why I got into real estate.
So is your bank working with you, or are they not working with you?
No.
Oh, so you have to foreclose.
I contacted them about a month ago, and I said, hey, man, I may need some help with COVID-19. They said, we'll see what we can do. But, you know, it's not much because it's not FHA backed. It was an investor loan. It's a pure, you know, plain and simple. You know, man, they expect investors to pay. Like, mm-hmm. you know, people look at this like, oh, you're making a lot of money and stuff. Like, the industry demands a lot of us as investors, mm-hmm. you know? And so, they expect you to pay. You have to be a good manager of money. Like I said, you can't, if I'm getting $700 a month, I'm not seeing $700 a month. I still got maintenance. I still got expenses. Taxes. I still got insurance. You got to factor all of that stuff in.
Mm-hmm. Man, so it's good that you brought up the FHA point, right? So like in LA, there's a lot of individual property owners. Like they own 4 units, 16 units. Those probably aren't FHA loans. They probably investor loans. There's probably someone that had capital they put up to buy that 4 unit or a 16 unit just because that's just the nature of the business. On an apartment complex that has like 460 units, that probably has an FHA loan. You know what I mean? Or maybe not.
Multifamily, if it's 4 units and above, you cannot get an FHA loan.
So that means that knocks out almost everybody, right? So it's like majority of the people in LA are their property man, their property owner owns that joint through however they own it. You know what I mean? So
they either bought it cash or they use a commercial loan.
Yep. So they can't get funding from the FHA to not do what they're doing.
Nope.
I mean, there's so many people out here that are like protesting and trying to like, you know what's going on with that. So how do you feel about people protesting? Like, what's your thoughts on like, what do you think about that? People protesting and trying to get
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. Yo, you can protest all you want. I just hope that you paid your rent, because if you get evicted, you're going to have a hard time finding another place. So
you don't have any kind of remorse for the people out there?
Absolutely. Again, sorry, I hear some kind of noise. It must be like a squirrel outside. I'm on like the 16th floor. It's kind of weird.
he in New York during COVID, man. He's up there, just so people know, he up there in New York. Stephen's is it Army or Reserve? Which one is it? Navy Reserves?
Well, active right now because of everything that's going on.
Navy?
Yep, Navy. Yep.
Okay, okay. So he up there, you know, he had to go up there and he's a medic. So he had to go up there and take care of some people in New York. And oh, man, give a little bit about that, man. What's the, you know, what's the COVID life like for you?
Oh, man. When I first got here, it was rough, man. 12-hour days. I was working in ICU. I saw some stuff. But what I will say is within a 2.5-week period, it turned around extremely quick. And I was moved into like the regular patient care unit. And they would come in the first 2 days, they'd be messed up real bad. But after those 2 days, I was able to see people recovering, you know, get them back. So that was a good thing, man. So that was
cool, man. Yeah, if you told me you're gonna be in quarantine tomorrow, you gotta go get checked tomorrow.
Yeah, I gotta go get checked because I've been around the virus, exposed to it. So, but if my test will come back in 2 days. If it come back negative, then they'll let me go ahead and go home.
Okay. So who's been managing your properties while you've been gone and like collecting these rent checks?
Yeah, I got a property manager back home. She's amazing. She takes care of everything, repairs, maintenance, phone calls, pretty much everything. So up here in my free time, since I've had free time, I've just been kind of focusing on expanding the brand and, you know, some marketing, just building investor relations, doing stuff like this.
Okay. So, man, based on, you know, you obviously, we got properties out here that the people, we still got to pay it. We still got to pay these mortgages, man. And unemployment being 30 and 40 million. What do you think happens with the multifamily market with real estate? Because again, like you said, you can't FHA for or more. They got to be paid. And again, I'm in LA, man, and unemployment, I don't know, I think it's 3 million out here, but it's going to be 30 million overall as a U.S. What are your thoughts on where you think the multifamily market space is going to go with this many people unemployed?
Yeah, if you didn't have private financing or you didn't pay, like you had like major investors backing you, like for cash deals, we're going to see a huge, huge decline in multifamily. You're going to see.
And you think they're going to go into foreclosure? Because again, if they couldn't pay their rent, and it's crazy because like if you foreclosure, I see the same foreclosure and bankruptcy. And you like before people say, well, what's the difference between now? Because the difference is last time they had to come in and bail banks out, right? It's easier to bail a bank out versus a ton of small business owner who own real estate. So if you got 4 or 5 more units or better, and the people aren't paying the mortgage, I mean, if they're not paying the rent, then you're not paying the mortgage on all four of these, and you got your own life that you got to pay for, it's going to be a shit ton of bankruptcies and foreclosures coming in the next 3 to 6 months.
Now, we'll throw this in. I mean, you know, and I don't know everybody's experiences on the small business loans. Like, I think I've applied for a small business loan. I hadn't got it yet. A couple of people I know have gotten the Paycheck Protection loan. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the caveat right there. So, if I get a solid small business loan over this time, or if I got the Paycheck Protection plan and it covers me enough, but the Paycheck Protection is just to cover your employees. That's not enough to cover your expenses. So, you know,
this is what they say. 75% of it can be written off if it's used for employees, and the other, you know, portion can be used toward like paying real estate interest and mortgage payments and things like that. So, I mean, you could use it to pay all your mortgage, but then you're going to have to pay a lot of it back versus if you use it all for your employees. I want to point that out, too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, so you were saying if you get that money, you would be less likely to kick someone out if you had the money to be able to put up for
if I had the small business loan, like not the employee loan, because the Paycheck Protection loan is just what it says. That's for employees, not the, you know, that's so your employees can still have money to feed their family.
You're supposed to get money.
For your expenses on the actual property.
Mm-hmm. You know? A lot of people are spending that money, though. I was watching CNBC the other day, and somebody hopped on, and they were like, well, I don't know how much money he got, but he was like, I'm not paying my employees. And he didn't pay him. He was using it for, I forgot what he said he was using it for. But I guess he didn't see the point in paying him and not being able to bring him back in a couple months. I think he was like, well, I'm going to just keep it because they can't come back anyway. I'm like, man, that's messed up. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would go that route. But, you know, he'll eventually have to suffer the consequences for, you know, whatever choice he made.
The hoarding the cash that he got approved for to pay his employees. That's just crazy. But, I mean, that's what people are doing, though, right? people are taking the money and not using it for what they're supposed to use it for.
For sure.
I mean, that's another reason this issue with the printing of money, man. Like, you printed it.
That's a whole nother ball game.
I think what they should have did, man, was this probably would have helped our landlords, man. I mean, if these companies got this money, I think they should have used ADP or like the payroll providers and just gave the money to them. They would have knew exactly who to distribute the funds to instead of you giving it to the owner of the business and being like, hey, bro, go out here and write a check. He's struggling himself. He might have multiple businesses. He might not even feel like writing a check to these people because some of them might have sucked as employees, right? You could have fired some of them anyway. You know what I mean? And right, now it's like, all right, well, do I give this dude some money? I was going to let him go in a couple weeks anyway. You know what I mean? So now he's keeping that money versus it going through a payroll provider. And they know for sure that these people are getting paid and they can pay their rent. You know what I mean? I think that's something that should have been done. But now it is what it is. Yeah, man. So you see the future. What do you think the next 3 to 6 months look like for the real estate market?
Well, I think you'll see multiple foreclosures. I think you're going to see a lot more struggling tenants trying to find a place because they're going to have, you know, that thing on their background. I don't know what that looks like. We work with people, like we usually charge a double deposit. But I mean, if you can't come up, that's more money to come up with, you know. Keep in mind, the economy's got to rebound, too. Like those, we lost a lot of jobs. That stuff's got to be, you hit the reset button. Like,
yeah,
those small businesses that didn't have income coming in, you know, now they can't pay their suppliers. Now their suppliers can't, you know, this is a chain reaction. Yeah. So we literally got to have to start over.
I was telling somebody, man, it was a capitalism reset. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what the reason behind, we don't have to get into the, you know, conspiracy theories on why the virus started. But I think, you know, this is a reset for the economy that we've never seen before. So, I mean, I can agree that I think there's going to be foreclosures and bankruptcies. What I don't know is how this is going to be restarted. You know what I mean? We've already pumped like $5 trillion into the market. And normally when you stimulate the economy like that, people can still go out and spend money at restaurants and keep them going. But that ain't the case right now. So I'm just trying to figure out these people that got the money, they're not paying their rent. Clearly they're not paying their rent because you're not getting paid. And there's other people out here protesting that they're not getting enough money. So I don't know, man. I don't know how to.
You know, like you said, it's overinflation right now. We may see some hyperinflation. My best advice, especially to investors, would be to stash as much liquid as they can. And when the market starts to tank, you need to start buying real assets.
So would you sell your properties that you have
It's a real asset. I would never sell a real asset.
But I'm saying if you have a mortgage on them and people aren't paying their rent, so what you going to do? You going to try to figure out ways to keep carrying the mortgage, or would you let it go so you don't get a foreclosure?
So that was one of the main reasons that I bought lower end properties, because I knew that if something like this happened, I could still cover my mortgage, you know? So my plan was to get those paid off. And if I wanted to go into higher end, I would still have the mortgages from the other properties. If you got one property, you're in trouble. I would never recommend you. If you're going to do this business, you should have more than one property, because again, I can handle one or two tenants leaving because I have multiple properties to cover that income. So, but you know, if you haven't put back enough cash, I recommend having at least 5 to 10,000 per property stacked in case something like this happens so that you can weather the storm. If you don't have the financial capabilities to do that, then you're not ready to invest in real estate.
Mm. That goes back to what I say too, man. This is a clear indication on why people should invest in multifamily. I think if you're going to do real estate investing, I think it's okay to do single family homes from a fix and flip standpoint, or you doing a lease option or something where you could get the capital up front from letting that property go. Because if not, if that person moves out, now you're paying that. Now you have a debt. Versus if you have a multifamily like you, for instance, you got one unit that you rent out for $600, another one for $600, your mortgage is $300. If one person leaves, the expense is being paid and not by you. So this is a time where it's real obvious that you want more doors. Because if you only got one door and that person can't pay the rent, you got to pay your rent You got to pay your mortgage, whatever you have. Now you got to pay this one too. And if you can't do both, like this girl that your girlfriend, now she has a foreclosure.
But not my girlfriend.
But... You know, I see your
yeah.
Loose term, your girlfriend.
Yeah, what to think about it though? Who's gonna get paid first? Are you gonna cover the rent? You gonna cover the roof on over your head or an investment property?
Yeah, now you're gonna let that joint go.
Exactly.
And now you screwed up. You know what I mean? So I think again, these are all in the reasons on why you should invest in multifamily. Like this is a clear, and it's funny because I always hear Grant Cardone saying anytime there's a downturn, four units and under are usually the ones affected the most. Because again, but you bought your properties at a position so low that you can do one person living in it and carry the mortgage. But a lot of times that ain't the case. Like you people buying four units that are in higher end markets and it costs more money. You know what I mean? That's why like if you go and invest, I think Memphis is a great place because cash flow is king and cash flow and Memphis is the number one cash flow market in the US. You know, anybody listening to this podcast, man, four units are better, man. And if you can do under, do it at a price point to where you don't got to worry about the mortgage if something like this happens.
For sure. I agree 100%.
So, man, your advice to tenants out there right now, man, listening and being, you know, biased about not having to pay and thinking landlords should pay everything. What's your advice, man? What do you want to say to people that own and people that are renting?
Do what you got to do for the tenants. If you got to get food stamps to get your food right now, do what you got to do. That's what the government is there for. It's for welfare. It's for you to take advantage until you put yourself in a position where you're not dependent upon it. You're getting these unemployment checks, put it back, balance your money, and your new job is to find a new job. You should be focused on those three aspects. For investors, you should be negotiating with your banks as much as you can. If they don't help you at this point, your job is to get a new job to cover, you know, to cover your expenses. Hopefully you bought right so that you don't, you know, have any turnover, you know. And then if you are in a good position, you should be putting cash back in liquid so that you can take advantage of when the market collapses.
So are you investing in anything right now or are you just staying liquid? Or are you what's your game plan? Because we talk about stocks and stuff all the time. I do that. Are you investing? Are you like right now there's a liquidity shock, right? So people are trying to stay liquid as much as possible. You got properties. We talked about that. So are you trying to be liquid to buy more properties? Or are you going to like buy them soon? Are you going to wait longer?
I've put some money in a couple of stocks. I think the market is low. I think they're slowly opening the economy back up. So I'm trying to choose stocks that I know are going to, you know, shoot up when the economy opens back up. As far as real estate, I'm not, unless it's a real sweet deal, I'm gonna sit on the sideline and get some liquid, and then I'm gonna go farming when it's time. Mm-hmm. I think what did Warren Buffett say? Be fearful when people are greedy, and be greedy when people are fearful.
Correct. I still think there's more to come with the economy, right? Like right now we're chilling at the house, so people are not really understanding the economic impact that's gonna come when we open up, and there's nowhere for people to go. So I think the first quarter where earnings report. These are the numbers that are coming from the first quarter, like December. Like this is the overflow. Second quarter are gonna be the numbers that came in from April to like June. Those numbers are gonna be super, super duper bad. And I think that's when the reality is gonna set in. And I think we're gonna collapse, man. I think we're gonna collapse in between July to September, maybe even November. I think when it's going to hit rock bottom in that point in time. And I think that's going to be when the buying opportunity is going to come for real estate. I think even the stock market is going to take a little bit more of a dip. That's why I was wondering if you were buying anything. I bought some stuff long term, right? I think I stopped buying last week just because I see like it's probably going to be better opportunities coming in July when calls and puts, but I'm like, all right, let me slow up right now because there's more economic data coming out that's going to show we might revisit March 23rd again. We're at the bottom just because the data now is from, you know, still January, February when stuff is still going. The data that's coming in July is going to be from, you know, April to June 1st. And that's why I think we're going to be like, holy shit, this is where we're going to be.
Cause we're in it right now, man. Like we haven't witnessed the results of what we're in. We're actually going through it. We gotta wait until what we're going through now, we got to wait until the results come out.
Correct.
And then when the results come out, that's when you make your decision. But we can't see what we going through right now. Yeah, like it's going to hit the fan.
It's going to hit the fan. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I like telling people about the stock market. They're like, oh yeah, man, it's going to come back in the V and all this other crap. And I'm like, bro, it's impossible because of what's going on with the stock market right now. There's no fundamental reason on why it's rallying the way it is. I mean, we were at the bottom, but how in the world can the stock market be coming back up from, I think it was down to like 19,000. Now we were at 23. How do you go from 19 to 23 within 3 weeks with 30 million people under unemployment?
That's crazy. It's a facade. It's a fugazi.
And so that's what I mean, man. You know, for anybody, you know, listening in right now, I think, like he's saying, if you got properties, I'm selling everything I have, man. I'm out. I'm gone. You know what I mean? So when the time comes, I was telling, you know, we were talking earlier, and I was like, what happened? Get ready for pre-foreclosures, right? I want to be in a position to where I don't want to have multifamilies right now. I might get them in like 6 months from now, but when this thing first hits, I want to be in a position to be able to help people by doing pre-foreclosures. I mean, I'm going to win because I'm getting homes that are at a discounted price. They're going to win because they're not going to have a foreclosure and not going to be able to buy a house for 7 years. So it's a win-win for everybody. And the bank wins because they don't have the non-performing note on their debt and they won't be able to lend more money out. So they're already losing with a 0% interest rate. Now they're going to be losing if they got bad debt. It's a win-win. The ecosystem is going to flourish if people think the same way that I'm thinking and saying right now. Like, save your money, buy pre-foreclosures, and then later on, maybe getting the fix and flips and something like that. But like, help everybody out so we don't have another 2008.
And exactly. I talked to you about getting financing earlier, and that's another thing that's going to affect the market. And, you know, people are doing flips. I would say be extremely careful because, you know, when the credit score used to be 600, but now you got to have a 680, you just lost a shit ton of buyers. You know what I'm saying? So that's something you got to be aware of. But you're right. You just, you know, you're going to be helping by doing the pre-foreclosures and buying properties. By that time, people will be creating businesses. They'll be seeing the need. There's always going to be an entrepreneurial spirit. So they'll create businesses. People will go back to work, and then they'll start getting stable. Interest rates will go back down. Credit scores will get more relaxed, and then the market will just reset itself. So you have to decide what side of the equation you want to be in. We're giving you the equation, but unfortunately, we can't tell you what position to play in the equation.
Correct. Yeah, it's too far in advance to advise, but that's why the best advice is get liquid and get as much liquid as you can, because if you have the cash that you can hop in any position that you want to hop in, you know what I mean? You'll be prepared for any scenario. And that's why, again, that's why we're going through this liquidity crisis right now. I mean, liquidity shock right now, because people are, like we're saying, they're uncertain of what's coming. So, man, any of you guys out there listening right now, man, take advice of what we're saying. We're not economists. We're not financial advisors, but we've been doing this long enough. I've been working in banking. You know, I did it for 10 years. So Stephen's been doing real estate for a while. So you can kind of see what's coming. And that's the whole idea behind education and watching what's going on with the market, watching CNBC, because it's like a forecasting of where you should be. It's getting you in the right position to be able to kind of predict what's coming with data. And so, man, get liquid. Any advice, Stephen? I'm going to let him go. Anything else you want to say, man?
Just prepare. Just prepare in position. Just prepare in position and do what you can do right now. You know, find out what's the best outcome for you to do doing all of this. Again, I think we kind of gave you some advice if you're a tenant, kind of gave you some advice if you're an investor. So, you know, take that advice, run with it, and position yourself as best as you can. Position yourself and educate yourself.
What'd you say, Stephen?
Position yourself and educate yourself.
Exactly, guys. Position yourself and educate yourself and be able to take advantage of what's coming. You don't need a lot of money, right? Like before, this is my last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to let you guys go. When this market hits as low as it's going to hit, with this real estate being as low as it's going to get as far as people being able to, not value-wise, but just the amount of properties coming to the market, like I was saying the other day with someone on another podcast, if a stock is normally at $35 in July, it should be around $5. I mean, you don't need a lot of money to go out here and take advantage of what's coming. So, you know what I mean? Don't think you need to be a millionaire to become a millionaire in this economic cycle that we're coming up on and that we're in right now. So get liquid, be prepared, even if you only got $5,000, that $5,000 can turn into $1 million within this economic climate in 2 or 3 years, 1,000% if you know what you're doing. Take care, guys. You know, hop on, watch some YouTube videos, watch CNBC, read a couple books, be prepared for what's coming. Thank you, Stephen.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Take care, guys.